Hello, hi, welcome. The show's name is Politics.
Although
I call it Politricks. My name is Presh.
My name is Dil.
And I didn't do an episode last week because I was away. So there's no cleanup to do or, you know, anything like that. So I think we can just get straight into the news.
Awesome.
Do you have anything you want to talk about before we start?
I'm okay. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about where you've been, what you was doing.
All right. Maybe we'll get to that later. Let's get to the news first.
Sure.
So first of all, South Africa's former finance minister, Pravin Gordhan, has died at the age of 75, his family said.
Yeah.
The anti-apartheid struggle veteran played a key role in South Africa's transition to democracy and helped negotiate the end of white minority rule. As well as finance minister, he occupied other top government and administrative roles since the 1990s until he announced his retirement from politics in May. The veteran cabinet minister died in hospital early on Friday after a, quote, a short, courageous battle with cancer, end quote, his family said in a statement.
Sure. R.I.P. Pravin. I also remember hearing about that news, you know.
So, we spoke about him when he retired, if you can remember back to our episode on Ricky Stanicky, right? So, I encourage our listeners to go back and listen to that episode, but the broad strokes of what I was talking about is that he did some good stuff. Like, he was an anti-apartheid activist, and you could say that, well, obviously, apartheid was a bad system, it's easy to be against apartheid, but... You know, when he was an anti-apartheid activist, people were getting killed and jailed. And he was actually jailed several times for, you know, his...
activities.
For his activism.
Yeah.
Right?
That's crazy, man.
So, he was also an ANC member who stood up to Jacob Zuma and his corruption.
Get it, boy.
He even testified in something called the Zondo Commission, which was... you know, to look into any wrongdoing from Jacob Zuma. So
that's good on him, man. Yes. Standing up for apartheidism and
standing against apartheid.
Against it, my bad, and you know,
against also corruption.
Yeah, that's the main thing in South Africa.
So on the other hand, he was public when he was public enterprise minister. It was during the height of load shedding, and he was unable to do anything to. You know, to put a stop to it. You know, you could say, well, he wasn't to blame for the load shedding. He was just the person, you know, tasked with trying to end it. But in that, he failed. So, you know, that should be on his record as well. Also, he tried to privatize parts of SAA, which... Yes, South African Airways.
Sure.
Right. So during the Ricky Stanicky episode, we spoke about why it's bad to privatize certain things, right? And all signs were pointing to him privatizing Eskom, which would have been a, I don't want to say a bad thing, but it could have gone very poorly, right? So he did some good things, he did some bad things.
Such is life, man. He lived his life, huh?
Yes.
What can we say?
In conclusion, he was a man of contrast.
Let's take one brief moment of silence for Pravin Gordhan.
Alright, so the South African government is... Well, this happened in the last... parliament, when the ANC had a majority, they voted through something called the Bela Bill. And it's going to take some time to implement that, so we're in that period now where they're trying to implement this. Since the government was reconstituted, you know, like, you know, after the election, it's now a GNU, and the DA has a massive say in how things happen.
Okay.
Right? And the DA is massively against the Bela Law. Right?
And the Bela Law being the Basic Education Laws Amendment, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
So, let's go... The thing is, I want to go through each one of them and just look at them and see what's wrong with this or, you know, what the issue is, right? So, school admissions and the language of instruction will be regulated by government, right?
So what does that mean? The government's gonna say what language we're gonna be taught in and who goes to which school, I guess.
Yeah, but the worry from the DA is that they're going to remove Afrikaans from schools, that they're going to have like a Zulu or I don't know, a Tonga or a Sepedi as the additional language. So that's part of the reason why the DA is against this, because they feel they are, how can I say this? They are representing Afrikaans people in this case, right? As well, other people that have spoken up about this is AfriForum, if you know who that is. They are, I would call them a white supremacist organization, but their stated goal is for the advancement of Afrikaans people, right?
That's crazy that people can even say that, but sure.
Anyway, they are massively against this, the government
Getting
po
involved.
possibly getting rid of Afrikaans when it's actually down to the it's how it currently worked is that the school and the district, they are the ones who regulated those things. Now the government is doing it.
But now, I mean, if the school and the district is regulating each area, that seems to make more sense, you know? Because if I live in an area where there's lots of Afrikaans spoken, of course, at school, I'd like to learn a little bit extra Afrikaans. But, you know, if I went to school and nobody was speaking Afrikaans, it would be a waste, you know, to learn it. So it might not be the worst thing to have some variety in the system as well, get some different languages going too.
Yes. Now I'm going to be honest. Ever since I left school, I don't think about school at all. So I have no opinions on this.
Well, think about like how often have you used Afrikaans, bro? And that was the first additional language that you learned.
Not often.
And don't you think if there was another language you could have learned, maybe it would have been more useful?
Maybe, but I would have probably been bad at that language too. Like I nearly failed Afrikaans.
Sure.
Like yeah. Anyway,
For sure.
the next point is that homeschooling will be regulated,
Alrighty then.
and I think that's important because, like,
We want equal, yeah.
who knows what the fuck they're being taught at
Hey,
homeschool?
dog.
You know,
For true.
they could be doing some bullshit.
I think that sounds nice because for me, if I had a kid and I wanted to homeschool them, it would be nice to have some regulations, some basic things that I could also make sure that the child is learning as well, you know. Not like I'm just pulling out of information out my ears, you know, and then just teaching.
I assume, like, if you are the parent or the person doing the homeschooling, you would appreciate that, to see what kind of level you're at. The next thing is, parents who fail to ensure their child is in school may face jail time.
Hectic. So if you don't know what your kid is doing, you could end up in jail. If they were bunking school and things.
Yeah, you could go to jail.
Yo, that's crazy, man.
So, I don't know. That's a bit wild to me.
You know?
Like,
'Cause I understand this, you must be accountable for your kid and stuff. You know, but at the same time, they also have to be responsible and show up to school, you know.
the thing is,
In
like,
fact, they should threaten them with jail time.
Jesus.
Remember that? I don't know if you, I don't know if you ever did it, Doug, but at schools, sometimes they did that. They'll take us as a group or something to like a prison or a place where, you know, where bad people end up. And I remember once we had to sit, we all filed into the prison like communal block, the cell, and we all sat down on the table, I mean on the chairs next to those oaks, and they were telling us their life stories and deep things, bro. So that kind of experience will make you want to stay in school. So
Yeah, but I'm saying maybe you have a rebellious kid who, like, you tell them do this and they just, completely disregard you. How can you be blamed if they bunk school?
Yeah, that's a fair
Parents,
question.
they only have so many tools to deal with a kid. So I don't know how I feel about that. The next point is grade R for 4 and 5 year olds will be the new compulsory school starting level, a year earlier than currently.
So now we start from grade 1, 2, 3, 4? So
no.
So you're saying grade R is
grade
just
R
before?
Grade R is compulsory now.
Oh, so grade R is going to be like 0.
Yes,
number one,
you have
two,
to
three,
start
four.
At R.
Okay.
Before it, you could start at 1. Now you have to start at R.
Oh, okay.
Again, I don't know how I feel about this.
I mean, I feel like if I had a kid and that kid was a genius, you know, and I'm teaching them all the things they need to learn, why do they need to go to grade R, you know, just to learn the same things? But these are all nice, fair points, but we must also just remember schools cost money, huh? And to send a child to an extra grade is an extra year worth of money. You know, when your child is bunking school, it's like you're losing money, and they want to put you in jail now. Shit's crazy, man.
Yeah. But I assume that there, like, some studies were done here and they found out that you know, going 1 year earlier is beneficial to the child. I assume. I have no idea.
I would hope so too.
So if that's the case, then it makes sense. But you know, I don't think they would do this without it making sense. Although, that being said, we have a crazy government. So maybe
sure.
We don't know.
But I
don't know, folks.
For sure, man. But I also wouldn't mind going to school slightly earlier, you know, if you know it's going to have a benefit for you.
Next point is the abolition of corporal punishment will be backed by fines and possibly jail time to those who administer it.
Oh, heck.
So if you are a teacher who beats children, you're going to jail.
For sure.
Though either jail or get a fine. So, I don't know. I back that. I don't think you should beat children. Like,
I'm sure these old teachers will have one, two stories to say about back in my day when the kids used to get a hit and this and that. But I'm sure you don't need to give out that sort of punishment anymore. There must be other ways.
Bro, you know, like, lots of studies have been done where he finds it's damaging to the child. So, you know, good to see this happening.
Yeah, finally, Odie.
All right. For this next story, I want to remind you that I'm not a financial planner. So take that, you know, everything I say with a grain of salt. And also, I'm going to be talking in the broad strokes. I'm not going to go into the, you know, the nitty gritty and the small details of this, right? So, the South African government has changed the law around retirement savings. It used to be that you contribute a portion of your salary to a retirement fund, and then your employer matches that amount, and the money grows due to compound interest. And when you retire, you withdraw those funds to live off of. Unfortunately, too many people have been withdrawing those funds earlier than expected, leaving nothing for them to retire with.
So dogs were getting excited with their pensions and they took too much.
Yes.
Before they were even pensioning, they were, it was done.
Yeah.
Ish.
Therefore, the South African government have introduced the two-pot system to sort of protect us from ourselves.
Thank goodness.
In the new system, you have a savings pot, which you can withdraw from, and a retirement pot, which can't be withdrawn from. So one-third of the amount you contribute goes to the savings, and the other two-thirds goes to the retirement pot. In other words, the government is forcing you to save two-thirds of your retirement savings until you actually retire. Now, I think that this is a bad thing. This is just making it easier to withdraw money from your retirement funds.
What do you mean, easier? Sounds like they're restricting some access to, you know,
no,
which
it's,
funds you have.
You know, the idea with the retirement fund before was you don't you don't use it.
Yeah.
People were using it wrong. Right?
Yeah.
So now you,
the whole system is changing.
You're sort of promoting taking money out of your retirement pot. I mean, the savings pot, which forms part of the retirement, right?
I see, yeah.
So I don't like that they're promoting doing this, right? I think that they should have amended the law so that you can only access your funds when you retire, right? In other words, I think the government should force you to save all your money until you retire. That's what I feel like.
It's a nice idea. I'm glad they're trying to save us from ourselves, but hey, you know, people will always do what they want to do. And just because a couple of people abuse the system doesn't mean you have to change everything, you know. Well, maybe one small little
you should be closing the loophole that allowed them to do that.
For sure.
Right. So your retirement fund is not the same thing as a rainy day fund, right? In my opinion, if you are in financial trouble, first of all, you should reduce all your unnecessary expenses, right? Then take out a loan or take out credit for the short term and then pay off that loan or credit as soon as possible. Going forward, my advice would be to not touch the savings pot at all, right? For two reasons. Number one, you pay tax when you withdraw funds. So if you withdraw funds now, you are taxed according to your tax bracket. So if you withdraw funds when you retire, your first 500,000 will be tax-free. So it really it
We'll
makes
save
more
your money.
sense. You'll be taxed on the money now, you won't be taxed on 500,000, the first 500,000 later. So it makes a lot more sense to only touch it when you retire, right? Number two, the point of retirement savings is for the money in the account to compound, right? If you withdraw funds early, there's less money to compound and you're left with a lot less money than if you waited to withdraw, right? But again, I'm not a financial planner. Do what makes sense for your situation. I'm just saying.
That makes sense what you're explaining as well. You know,
Yes.
you compound interest works with a big amount. If they're
Yes.
putting in a big amount, then the amount grows. If you keep taking out from that big amount, then you can't expect much when you retire.
Yes. So, the next three news stories from you, so why don't you
Oh
take the
yeah.
lead?
Well, I just heard a little bit on the radio. A prisoner who is seeking access to the internet. So it seems like this fella is trying to defend his own case, and he's complaining that the law books and things that they've provided him is not sufficient. So I'm just wondering how you feel about, like, you know, prisoners having access to internet. I think at first when I heard it, it didn't like seem like a big deal, but I was like, oh shit, what if this guy's, you know, trying to get hold of the internet and do some crazy things? But yeah, I don't know. What do you reckon?
I agree that he should be getting the internet, but I think you're leaving out a lot of context around who this person is.
Well, I didn't want to get too specific into who the person is because I'm also just thinking generally, you know, is
Yes.
internet like a need? Is it something that you must have? Is it something that they must provide in the in a place where your needs are only to be limited, you know, in a prison environment? Why do you have access to internet when,
Okay.
you know?
Speaking in general, let's not speak about this particular person, but this particular person is defending themselves. So I think in that capacity, they need the internet to work out their arguments, to, see
For sure.
what's right. In the capacity of being a prisoner, I don't think they should have internet. Books are fine enough, right? And it doesn't allow you to communicate with the outside world. We're trying to, keep you away from that. It's you're supposed to be punished. Having the internet is
Yeah,
reduces that punishment,
it's a real
right?
luxury, yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, just in his specific case, it makes sense for him to have the internet, but not in his capacity as a prisoner. So that's my thoughts on it.
Okay, for sure, I feel you. I mean, look, I'm sure there's many prisoners who would appreciate a little bit of extra internet because it will make a difference to their daily lives. But yeah, I was
Sorry,
just
I think
thinking,
we
yeah.
should say who this person is. He's a guy, his name is Thabo Bester, right? He's a convicted murderer and rapist.
Hectic, bro.
Yeah, he's been in the news on and off for like the past year and a half because it's such a scandalous story, and
So now the man is trying to defend himself, but he wants internet now to defend himself. And I can't just help but think an internet is a luxury and it's not something everybody has. Poor people don't have internet, you know, and they don't suffer, they don't cry. People are still able to make use of books and libraries. So maybe in that case he wants to defend himself, but what's he defending himself for? For killing someone and raping someone? I don't know, bro. Like, if that's what you did, I don't think you deserve the
Well,
internet.
you still deserve to have your day in court. You
Sure.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's true.
But
That's true.
anyway.
And I heard there were he was also complaining he didn't have access to lawyers and things. So, you know, if that's the struggle he had dealt with, shame. for him. But anyway, that's just the one story. The other story is, I hear that the post office is really struggling, you know, and it got me wondering and thinking, you know, who's really using the post office much? Because to be honest, if I wanted to send something, I wouldn't use the post office. I'd use a courier service because it just seems more reliable and it's more faster. Like, you know, it costs a little bit more, but I'm willing to make that sacrifice for the efficiency. Have you used the post office at all?
I have not, but I also don't use couriers. So
anyone in your family use the post office or anything? I remember once upon a time I had a post office box, but we closed that because we were only getting junk mail in it, you know. So what other things does the post office really bring in that's really important? Can you think of anything? Maybe bills, but bills should be sent also electronically, you know.
Not everyone has the money to pay a little bit extra like you do. And
for the courier.
Yeah. So they need that cheaper access to, you know, sending stuff. So I see a reason for it existing, a public option for a service, and the couriers can work, you know, a parallel to the post office.
Sure.
But it sounds more like the post office has been grossly mismanaged, which is the case with a lot of public entities in South Africa.
For sure.
Right. So I'm just hoping that there's more help. Coming to the post office so that they, you know, like I said, run in parallel instead of being done away with entirely.
And just thinking about the post office, you know, whatever post issue the post office might have, I wonder if it would do good for the government to propose these sort of issues as topics for people to just pursue and engage with. So, for example, if the post office is struggling with, you know, service delivery or management or something, you know, are there not people who can bridge that gap? They've got some expertise and they can really help that. And surely those people must be sitting outside in South Africa doing something, you know. Maybe they'd be willing to help.
Maybe. But, you know, ideally you want to pay these people because, you know.
You're paying these people.
Ideally,
yeah,
because they're doing work and work deserves to be, you know, fairly compensated.
For sure.
Right. Anyway, are we done with this?
Yeah, I guess so. And then the last thing, I'm just surprised that I'm still hearing that Gaza is still negotiating peace. So I'm wondering how long does peace usually take to get negotiated? Because when I play my PlayStation game, I have to wait about 20 turns before I can, you know, declare peace with someone after I've just declared war or, you know, attack them or anything. So I wonder what this 20 turns feels like in real life. You know, how long would it really take for peace? Have there ever been any previous negotiations for peace that have maybe taken place fairly recently?
Yeah.
Who?
Russia.
Oh, yes. How long did that negotiations take?
A couple of days, but it failed.
Ah, so
they're still at war.
So then, even that war, everything is like, still happening.
Like, there's constantly peace talks, you know, happening. Like, after a couple of days, you either agree to it or you don't, and then you walk away.
So when was the last time someone agreed to peace?
I don't know.
Sheesh.
Sorry, bro. It's okay. I don't have all the information.
It's okay. I'm just
These three stories we just lost that we just did now, just something we heard on the radio.
Yeah.
Like, usually I have time to research stuff. Yeah. You just sprung this on me.
Look here, sir. Don't tell me about springing because I'm just asking, you know, in case you know. But it's okay. Just, you know, these three stories are also just for me and I want to know maybe if you feel the post office is necessary, maybe if you feel like prisoners shouldn't get access to the internet, or maybe you feel like peace talks are just bullshit and really nothing peaceful is actually happening.
I do think the peace talks are bullshit. I don't think Israel are interested in peace at all.
So, you know, that's something interesting we need to know. Why is it taking so long? Because if two people truly want peace, they can make it happen, you know. But anyway, people can't really do that. So, that's my story. Tell me.
All right. Now, this may be the most self-indulgent thing I've ever done on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to recap my holiday.
Yes, tell me.
Right. So, the reason we went on this trip in the first place is that we were visiting my auntie's friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to stay with her.
Mm.
So, we didn't have any accommodation costs.
Mm.
So, it turned out that my auntie's friend booked an Airbnb for my brother and me, and that she paid for, which was very dope, right? I didn't even realize that's what was happening, but, you know, thank you to her.
Yeah, shout out.
Right? Unfortunately, that Airbnb fucking sucked,
boo.
Right? First of all, the lady who owned the Airbnb was staying there with us.
Right? Awkward.
Which, yes, that's precisely the word. It was fucking awkward,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, at the best of times, it's awkward to stay with somebody you don't know. Mm. But this lady was so supremely weird, right? She just the way that she walked, the way that she talked, the way that
everything was giving weird vibes.
Yeah.
Shame.
Right. And that's fine. Sometimes a person is weird.
Mm.
But, you know,
we don't want to have to stay with them all the time.
Right.
Just be weird somewhere else. It's cool, man.
What also sucked is we had to go through her room to access the shower.
Oh,
and she was not very accommodating in this area.
Oh.
Right? She had very strict hours that we are allowed to shower, and when you're traveling, you come in and out at odd hours, right? So that was very inconvenient.
Terrible.
Added to this, the lady's house constantly smelled like cheese. Which, you know, I don't like. I like cheese, but I don't like, you know, that
the smell of fucking bacteria.
And it's like surrounding you, you know.
Hectic.
Right. Mm. Then in the last few days of the holiday, it turns out that this lady had these bugs infesting her kitchen.
Mm.
Right. I was worried about it going in my clothes and such, right. But those bugs only attack food.
Mm.
So it was contained into her kitchen.
Okay.
So, yeah.
In short,
the fucking accommodation sucked.
Fucked.
Jesus Christ, it was awful.
Hades.
I hope the fucking the Swedish government
they must regulate the Airbnb. No,
they must listen to this episode and find that lady. Shut it down. Oh my God, she needs to be stopped.
Sure.
Right.
Mm.
So my auntie's friend and that lady both live in a town called Uppsala, which I would compare with Poch.
Mm.
Poch is a town in South Africa that's
University town.
Yes, both Poch and Uppsala are university towns, right? So they are rather quiet in comparison to the big city, right? So Uppsala was our base of operations, and then we spent a day away in a town called Visby, which is still in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
2 days in Helsinki, which is in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
2 days in Copenhagen, which is in Denmark.
Yeah.
And 2 days in Stockholm, which is the
Sweden.
Yeah, the main city.
Yes.
In Sweden, right?
Sure.
So all of those we stayed in hotel rooms, which my auntie paid for. Which again, I didn't realize that.
Nice.
But it was a welcome break from that lady's house.
For sure.
Jesus Christ,
sure.
Bro.
Leave all that cheese behind, man.
So, in terms of the architecture, the buildings were all gorgeous.
Mm.
And I noticed that all the places were very wheelchair and disability friendly.
Mm.
Right? Lots of ramps, lots of, spaces for people to walk.
Mm.
Right? People in wheelchairs use the bike lanes to get around.
Yes.
And that's another thing. There's a lot of, like, people are fit because they like ride bicycles and walk all around the place, right? Whereas here, the urban hellscape that we live in, people use cars all the time. So,
and when you're traveling internationally, bro, I'm sure you learned about walking and using public transport, all of those things. They're very efficient ways to get around, but you can also feel they're so good for you, you know? When you're walking, you don't feel like, yo, I just walked 500 miles, you know, I'm dying of thirst. But you just feel like, yo, I just need to get around that corner, I'm going to get in that shop, I'm going to get a drink, I'll be okay, you know?
Yeah, so that, it's, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm.
Everyone there is fit because, you know, they ride around on bicycles.
Mm.
And they ride around on bicycles because they're fit.
Mm.
And, you know, that cycle just keeps going on and
for
on.
For sure, for sure.
Right? Politically, all the places we visited are run by an ideology called social democracy,
mm-hmm.
which is also referred to as the Nordic model.
Mm.
It's essentially a capitalist country with a number of socialist policies that address inequality. So they have free education, free healthcare, subsidized housing, and a social safety net, as well as a large amount of trade union participation.
Must be nice.
Right. I really wish we could bring the Nordic model to South Africa.
Mm.
And
without the corruption, you know.
Yes, well, that's the thing. There's a number of factors that, you know, that limit us to, you know, doing it exactly like the Nordic model. But so I found out about the Nordic model in 2016 when Bernie Sanders was running for president of America, right?
Oh, man, Bernie!
Yes, so that's what he opened my eyes to, the fact that, you know, it's possible, a better world is possible,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And he opened my eyes to socialism.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've been trying to find why we can't do it in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the arguments around it are kind of bullshit.
Mm.
Like, you'll hear, do you know who Ben Shapiro is?
Mm. Yeah.
He's a writer.
He's the artist. He makes the
No. That's, that, his name is, that guy's name is Zapiro.
Oh, my bad. You said Shapiro, not yes. Zapiro, my bad.
So Ben Shapiro is a right-wing guy.
Yeah.
And this main thing he says is, they're ethnically homogenous.
I mean, that doesn't make sense because nobody and nowhere is ethnically homogenous.
Yes.
Everything is mixture.
Like, if you just go there and walk around, you'll realize how many, like, immigrants there are in Sweden.
That
but
makes
never
no
mind
sense.
That, right?
Mm.
This fucking racist is trying to say what they're all of the same race, and that race happens to be the white race.
Okay.
Therefore, if you live in a multicultural area, you can't achieve it.
How
right?
can you even think to say that any one particular place is ethnically homogenous?
Because only these countries have it, right? Other countries don't follow the Nordic model.
But we don't talk about a country. You talk about people. People are homogenous, not a country, right?
Mm.
So I just think it's ridiculous how you can say that, because
listen,
the way people have moved all over the world, everything is mixed,
yes.
and everything
Look,
will be heterogeneous.
The guy who's saying this is a racist crank,
he's a
right?
stupid ass.
So we don't need to say, oh, this guy's a racist. Like, we already understand that,
we'll
right?
Figure. We'll
right.
Figure.
So it's just like racism and lies that are being told to that say that we can't have social democracy in
mm-hmm.
South Africa,
mm.
right? Now, the ANC are neoliberals, right? The DA are neoliberals. And some people might disagree about the ANC.
Mm.
Some people say, well, the ANC are communists, right? The ANC were first and foremost an African liberation movement, right? They didn't have a specified economic plan.
Mm.
It just so happens that in the tripartite alliance, they aligned themselves with the Communist Party of South Africa. So if the ANC were communists themselves, why didn't they just merge with the Communist Party of South Africa?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is that they weren't communists. They were just, you know, had common ground with the communists so that they, you know, could end apartheid.
For sure.
Right? Both Thabo Mbeki and Cyril Ramaphosa are neoliberals, right? And the, what's the word? The clue that you should take note of is that our president is a billionaire. He's not a fucking socialist in any sort of way, right? He's a multi-billionaire, right?
Damn, billion, did you say?
Yes, Cyril Ramaphosa.
Jeez.
He used to own McDonald's franchises.
Sheesh.
And that's how he made his money.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, the ANC is neoliberal, the DA is neoliberal.
Mm.
There's no... there's no left-wing opposition to those parties, and that's what makes me sad. Actually, you know what? One day I was reading an article where some guy called the DA socialist, and I nearly fell out of my chair, bro, because it's... Look
you
at
can't her. Say it, man.
They're clearly liberals. There's no... I don't even know how to explain
There's
it
no
any further
socialism,
than that.
No good aspect, absolutely, man.
Anyway, finally, the main point of this review, and this is the wild thing about Sweden. Every girl is fucking hot, right?
Yeah.
You'll just be walking and you'll see the most beautiful girl you've ever seen just at the bus stop standing there.
Yeah.
Then you'll walk a little bit further and you'll see the hottest girl you've ever seen riding by on a bike. And then you'll like go to a restaurant and the hottest girl in the world is serving you a pasta.
Yo,
right? Everywhere you go, it's unbelievable. Holy shit,
strong
dog.
There.
It, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Nice.
If I weren't severely overweight, I would have cleaned up there. God damn.
Men will get banned from Sweden, huh?
Yeah.
Shit. But that's cool, bro.
Banned? Why would I be banned?
I don't know, bro. I feel like I saw somebody who got banned because they were sleeping with too many people in the...
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Oh, shit. I forgot. That lady, you know, I said accommodation.
Yeah.
She said, if I knew you guys were African, I wouldn't have allowed you to come here.
Oh, right?
She said because of the monkeypox.
Which
it's like...
Yeah. I'm sure Europe had first cases of monkeypox before
my brother
else.
My brother, like, I just kept quiet. My brother was like, do you know that Sweden has more cases of monkeypox than the whole of Africa? She was just...
I'm sure she was fuming inside, bruh.
She called him disrespectful.
That lady is disrespectful, bruh. I hope fucking rats eat her.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
It's a bit hectic.
I wasn't done. I just hope they eat her toenails only.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sure.
Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Please remember to rate, review, subscribe.
Give a like.
Give a like,
yeah.
Etc. Importantly, it needs to be a 5-star review.
Five only,
five
please.
Only.
Yeah.
You can find all our links at paicip.com. That's paicip.com. Please tell a friend. Tell that friend to tell a friend. Tell a family member. And
tell your ma some. I mean, tell your ma and your fa and your sister.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I forgot to mention the... You know, I said we went to visit my auntie's friend. So my auntie's friend and her husband, they were very accommodating and showed us a very good time there.
That's
I want to thank them for that.
Shout out.
So I should have said that. I'll see if I can cut this and put it before
we'll
the ending. But
around,
yes, but thank you to them.
Peace and love.
Yes. So goodbye.
Au revoir.